you got your Bibles, open up to Numbers, chapter 13. Every day, someone is going to need some type of encouragement, encourager in their life to get them from that next place of, you know, them stuck, being stuck in a rut, to get them out of that rut. You know, you're going to need that person. I'm not saying you can't live off motivation, but sometimes you do need a little something in your life from someone else that's going to get you from point A to point B, and that'll help you propel you into what God wants you to do. The Word of God does that every single day. We can go to His Word for encouragement, or the Lord can use someone else in your life, or maybe just even a total stranger that will speak some encouraging word in what you need to hear. We all need that. We all need people who are going to focus on God. I'm thankful for all the prayer warriors. They always got a good word from the Lord. Always. Even when you're doing wrong, they got a good word for you. Why? Because they're connected with God. So we all need that encouragement in our lives. It says here, this was their report. Now, we understand that God has sent 12, God told Moses to send out 12 people, 12 men, from one leader from each tribe, to go out and spy and check out Canaan. This is the land that he was giving them. It's like, listen, if you go there, spy, check it out, check everything out, make sure that, you know, we the soil is good. Make sure the land is good or bad, or let us know. Does a town have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Are there many trees? And Moses is asking them all these questions. Do your best to bring back samples of the crop you see. And it just so happened during that time that, you know, that it was the season for harvesting ripe grapes. And we know what happened. They brought back a cluster of grapes. It required two men to carry a cluster of grapes coming out of that land. That's how big it was. That's how plentiful it was. This is what God does. He's not going to give you something broke, busted up, and disgusted. He's not going to give you some deserted land. And even if you do take that deserted land, he can bring something out of that. Think about that. Well, my land, Lord, my land is just, it's just not producing. Pray over it. Pray over it. Speak life into those crops, into that seed when you put it in the ground. Lord, we don't have enough water. Send rain. Whatever you need, God's got it. And it's at your disposal. Sometimes we get too much rain, but we need the rain, right? Not during harvest season. Is that correct? You don't need rain during harvest. Okay. Here's the thing. We can be specific with it and not just settle it. Pray for rain. I prayed for rain. At certain times, rain came. I didn't, you know, I wanted the rain to leave because I don't like traveling in rain. Stop raining. I like the rain because it didn't wash away the bugs at times. But then that's enough, okay? Let's go. I got to get somewhere. I don't like traveling 40 miles per hour, so I don't hydroplane. Hydro or hydroplane? Which one is it? Hydroplane? Yeah. Okay. But you can pray for rain. He says, this was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. They brought these grapes back. They brought all these other things back. This is what it produces. Look at the harvest of it. It's great. I never had milk and honey before, but it sounds good. I like milk. I like honey. I never had the combination of the two, but it does sound good and it sounds plentiful. He says, but the people living there are what? Powerful. And their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Man, too many times throughout scripture, people will look at how big their problem is and what's it going to take to do it. There are giants in that land. Okay, that was something that needed to be said because they were people occupying that land. How much is it going to cost? You know, sometimes God will have you do something that he's not looking at your bank account. He just wants you to give it. He wants you to sow it. He wants you to spend it. Well, that would be irresponsible. He wants you, all he's trying to get you to do is just trust him. He's trying to get you to sow a seed. Okay, there's certain times when we didn't have the money to sow when we sowed it. But the reason why we didn't have any money to sow was because we were putting God last and not first. God, we don't have enough. We don't have anything to give. Well, if you give to me first, then I can make room for, I can grow that. Give him his first fruits. All right. Is this thing on? Your faith that he has given you is not made for the possible. If you can do it in your own power, you don't need God in your life. Your faith is not made for the possible. The measure of faith that God has given you is for the impossible, is for great miracles to be done in your life. Just think about the time when you just given your life to Jesus. It required great faith to believe that he had died on a cross, that he was dead, he was in the grave, he went to hell in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and when he was raised to life. You weren't there, you didn't see it, but it takes great faith to believe that. And that end up producing the greatest miracle in your life when you give your life to Jesus. That's the greatest miracle right there when you come into the kingdom of God. It takes great faith. Your faith that everyone has in here, if you are a born again believer, the faith that you have is for great miracles in your life. Nothing short of it. There are certain things that I can do in my power. There's a lot of things that I can't do within my own power. I want to roll that way because I already seen what my power can do. Great miracles that God wants to do through you every single day. You need favor in your life. God will give you favor. Pray for favor over your life. It's not hard. Why? Because he doesn't want you lacking any good thing. He wants to give you the good things in life. He wants to help you out every step of the way. And he's already provided it for you. It requires faith in his grace. This Christian life, at times when I'm looking at it, it could be really easy if we just put God first. And sometimes we don't want to put God first. We want to put our feelings and emotions first. We want to put what other people say first. If we just put him first, I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy, but at the same time, it's like, why do we doubt him? Why do we ever doubt him? I said, God is not short on any miracles. You know, if he done a miracle for you this week, you know, he could do something for you every single day. Every day you could receive a miracle from him. Every day. And he's not going to say, yeah, I'm not going to do it this time. You use yours up. He doesn't run out. His grace provides for that. Every single day, give us this day our daily bread. That daily bread is not just for you, it's to help other people as well. He says, but the people living there are powerful. Lord, these people are powerful. There are giants in the land. They are powerful. I don't know if we can overcome them. And their towns are large and fortified. You know, giants don't have small homes. You know that, right? Those big old doors, man. Big bathrooms. Big bedrooms. He was given, can you imagine that? It wasn't no tiny homes. These were huge. Clusters of grapes, they'll just, two men have to carry. They can just, it's not that big a deal for them. But this is what he's given them. Next scripture. He says, but the Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people. Everybody say, but Caleb. But Caleb, thank God for Caleb. Caleb is trying to give them an encouraging word, tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land. So you need somebody in your life that's saying, we can take them. We can get this done. Yeah, I understand it costs that much, but we can pull together and we can get this done. We can trust God for a miracle. We can trust God to do the impossible. Why? Because our faith was created for that very thing that we needed in life. Caleb. 12 spies. 12. Yes. 12. It's cheaper by the dozen. 12 spies. 12 people went out. One of them came back with a good report. And then later on in the next chapter, we'll see that Joshua kind of went along with Caleb. Good thing for Joshua, right? Joshua knew. I said, hey, to me. I said, Joshua got a book named after him. What happened to the other 10? But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Why? Because Caleb knew who he was. Caleb knew he had a covenant with God. Kind of like with David, who was this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to defy the armies of the living God? David knew that he had a covenant with God. You should know that you have a covenant with him. You have a personal relationship with Jesus. Who dare to try to stop what God wants to do in your life? These giants are taking the land. Next verse. But the other men who had explored the land with him did what? Disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. They're stronger. Have you ever told yourself that? That person might be better. That person might be more educated. That person might know more, a little more. That person might have all this people behind him. That person might have this, that. We start talking ourselves out of what God has really given us. People, when you have favor in your life, can't no one stop that. Favor will get you to the front of the line. Sometimes I'll check that out. I'll be driving in a parking lot. Need favor, Lord? Why? I don't want to walk a long way. As small as that is. But sometimes it's good for me too, because you don't want the little door dings and stuff like that, you know? Sometimes, you know, I'll just pull up and in. Sure enough, somebody's pulling out. And I just pull right on in. Thank you. Favor gets you to the front of the line. Favor will get you that parking spot. Favor will get you into places where God, that where you never thought that you would be. Favor. Favor will get you in front of kings and queens. You already are kings and queens in this kingdom. Favor will get you sitting right in front of the CEO. Favor. That's what you need in your everyday life. But you need that encouragement as well. You need Caleb. You need guys like Caleb. You need guys like Joshua. What verse are we on? Is that 32? If God says it, that what? Settles it. If God has said it in your life, if he has spoken it over your life, that settles it. No one else's word matters. If he's spoken that over your life, into your guys' life, that settles it. Doesn't matter what the enemy try to do. It's a done deal. They were all leaders of the tribe, but only one stood out because of his faith. The just shall live by what? God is not going off of the majority of the people. That was basically 10 against 1. Joshua at that time was kind of on the he was kind of on the fence a little bit, and then he got on board with Caleb. I think too many times we play it safe. We believers can play it safe. We can go along with what certain people say. We can go along with what the doctor may say. We can go along with what our bank account will say. We can go along with what other people may say about us, and we just end up playing it safe. God doesn't want you playing it safe. He doesn't want you being dumb. He doesn't want you playing it safe. He wants you trusting him. Your faith is created for the impossible. Use it. Use it every day. He wants to back you up. He will back you up according to his word. He will. Use it. Lord, but I was like this, you know, years ago. And wait a minute. He ain't worried about yesteryear. He's not worried about yesterday. You are who you are in Christ today. It's a new day. He ain't worried about what you did 20 years ago. He's not worried about what you did 30 years ago. It's a new day. Your faith works. Put it to work. Believe for the impossible. Lord, I got everything I have. That's great. That's great. But Lord, what is it you want from me today in this season? What is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? Who is it you want me to speak life into? What? What project do I need to take on now, next? There's always going to be something, I guarantee you. And it just might be just sit in my presence for a season. Sit in my presence for this week. Just listen to my voice. Hear my voice. Whatever it is, I guarantee you it's going to require faith on your part. God is not going to have you do anything outside of faith. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. Bad news will always travel faster than good news. Always. Heard an expression, you know, bad news, gossip or what have you will circle the earth before good news is actually, the truth is actually just barely putting his shoes on. I mean, if we treat bad news, I mean, good news, the way that we do bad news, we'd be out of here. Think about it. I said, we'll be so quick to tell somebody else's business that quick. But yet the good news of the gospel, oh, I might take some time. That requires a lot of faith. And Lord, it's got to be in the right situation. I got to have my heart. I got to do this. I got to do that. But the other stuff, man, it's. People can put it out there so quick. It's crazy. Bad news will always travel faster than good news. Gossip will always travel quicker than the gospel. Share the gospel, not the gossip. Fear will always keep you from the promises of God. Fear and unbelief will keep you from taking what's rightfully yours in the kingdom. Fear and unbelief will always keep you from taking what's rightfully yours in the kingdom. Restoration is yours. Healing belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. Joy, peace, his salvation, those things belong to you. Verse 33, he says, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought, too. The masses don't always represent God. They are not always right. Even if you have to be the only one to be the encourager like Caleb, stand up and say something. Stand up and say, we can take them. I know this is what they said here, but we can take them. I know this is what the land may be. It seems like we're just broken, busted up. But guess what? This is what his word says. We can get after it. Do y'all think I walk on water or something? I hope not. Nobody's asking you. That's fine. She's like, no, you definitely don't. Get me a case of water right now. That's fine. I can get on there. But there's times that I notice a difference when I start speaking the word of God over my life. It's like something just jump starts on the inside of me. And other times I'm just quiet. Won't even say anything. There's a difference. When you're saying it, when you're speaking it, when you're living it out, there's a difference. Sometimes you're going to need to stir yourself up and encourage yourself. Get up and get out. Let's go. I was out here shooting hoops. I haven't touched the ball in over 10 years of probably shooting. Well, I shot a little bit after I got out of recovering from COVID and all that junk. And I was airballing every shot. I didn't have no strength whatsoever. Like 10 shots, airball, airball. I was out here. I was like, all right. Because with hoops, it was kind of like a love-hate relationship. But at one point in time, it was my God. That's what I turned to. So I had to end that. And I got back out there again. And I was like, now I just felt, I tried to encourage myself last night. We got home from Wichita about 9:30. I think I'm going to go out there and shoot. And I got out there. I said, my body said, nah, not today. But I shot the other day and I was shooting. I was like, man, this feels good. Why have I stopped this? Why? Now I made a bet. I think what I told my wife, I said, I was like, we were driving home. I said, think I can dunk at 50? She goes, no, that's no way. Challenge accepted. I didn't say what height. And I didn't say what. Let's go get some donuts. That's fine. Be more specific. That's fine. Doubt and unbelief and gossip got into the community. And in verse, chapter 14, Numbers 14, look at what it says here. It says, then the whole community began weeping out loud and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protests against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why has the Lord taken us to the country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. That spread quickly. It wasn't our generation that started this, but doubt and unbelief will always bring you to the point to where you will complain about your problems. God doesn't want us complaining. Because if we're complaining, we're not trusting in him. Let me encourage y'all. If you get to the place to where you were complaining, ask the Holy Spirit to catch your mouth. Catch what you say and just begin to speak. If you just got to go to the word, you find out your situation and then go back and then begin to speak that out. I guarantee you, you're going to see some change in your life. I guarantee it. You ever remember that chef? I guess, what was his name? The Cajun cook, right? I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You're going to start seeing a change in life when you catch yourself, when you catch your mouth, your words that's coming out. You're going to notice a difference. You're going to notice a shift in the atmosphere when you're speaking his word. You're going to notice a pep in your step. You're going to notice a confidence. Your back is going to begin to straighten up and stiffen up and be like, okay, I don't need to act like this anymore. Let's go. You don't have to go around playing the victim everywhere and then just so that you can gain sympathy from people. Just speak that word. God is not going to back that part up of you playing the victim. He's going to back up you standing on the word and coming out of your mouth. Verse 7, it says, they said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. Keep going. And if the Lord is pleased with us, this is Joshua talking, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. Man, see, look at Joshua getting along with it. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Joshua giving them encouragement. Reminded them that God is on their side. We can take them. They are helpless prey. He's talking about giants here. God didn't give them the land, the giants. He gave it to the Israelites. There's something that God has your name on that other people have that he didn't give to. Ask him what it is. You don't have to be covetous over it. Just ask him what it is. If it's mine, Lord, it cometh now. You have to stop being afraid of people. Who cares what they say? Who cares who they have on their side? You can take them. God is on your side. They had no protection. God wasn't with them. He was with the Israelites. God is not with your enemies. He's with you. You can take them. You realize you always, every single day, you will start from victory. You're not trying to get victory. You're already in victory. The encourager, Isaiah 35, 1, it says this, even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and, is that how you say that word? Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will come as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. Say to those who are fearful and hearted, do not be afraid. Come on. Y'all remember that song from way, way back in the day? God will come and save you from your enemies. If people get upset about the enemy part, guess what? You might want to check on what side you're on. Because you're supposed to be for God. He's for you. He says he will bring justice to all those who trouble you. You know, the second coming of Christ, God will take vengeance on those who treated you wrong. You don't have to go out and get revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, for he will repay. You don't ever have to keep yourself in love. You don't ever have to do that. I'm going to encourage you. Here's some scripture here. It says 2 Thessalonians 1. It says here, we proudly, 1:4. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness and all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. And God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who what? Persecute you. There you go. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, pray from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. You love God, you love people. You don't ever have to go out and get revenge. Give it to him. Lord, you seen it?
Yeah, I seen it.
And I said, all right, cool. Let's go. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. When I used to play ball, when I was actually decent, I hear people talk about me. Oh, I'm better than Tim. Somebody come and tell me that. I said, okay. Wait till I play him. Wait till I see him on the court. Now I'll just wait. And I wouldn't see him for weeks. Then they come and show up at my park. I say, oh yeah. It's go time. And I would put it on them. Guess what? They wouldn't come back again. You just wait for it. God will back you up when you keep yourself in love. Why do you think I'm so adamant about you being a chosen vessel for God, not a vessel for anyone else, for the enemy? Because God's going to get vengeance on those people that do you wrong. And when you choose to be a vessel for the enemy, you're putting yourself in that predicament. Love God. Love people. It's not too hard. Go out of your way to be the encourager. I know sometimes I feel like that. Because I like to keep it 100 with people. And that doesn't always come out good because y'all know I don't sugarcoat stuff. But when you encourage, you're kind of growing a little bit because you're looking past their faults and you're seeing the good in them. And the Bible says to make allowances for each other's faults. We all have faults. Who has a fault in here? Everyone but me. Whoa. Let me get off of that. But encourage. Even when things aren't going your way, man, that takes a lot to encourage other people when you're not getting what you deserve, what you need in your life. And you choose to be an encourager when you're being dogged out. That's tough. But you will always reap what you. Come on. That's a spiritual law. I love that one. Do not be deceived, brethren, for God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. And the one who sows to please the sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Sow to the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the faithfulness. Sow to the Spirit rather than to the flesh. When you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction every time. 10 times out of 10. You sow to the Spirit. Why is everybody just loving me? Because you're a loving person. You like to sew jokes. Make sure they're clean. I like clean jokes. Funny jokes. That gets me laughing. There's a joke that, you know, like when black people laugh, they can't stay in one spot. They got to move everywhere. Some people can just giggle and laugh. I said, black people, we go all over the place, man. It's we're in another room. Isaiah 40 says this, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on high, like on wings like eagle. Soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 1, it says, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. I like that. Philippians 1:6 says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue to work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." Let me encourage y'all. I love using this scripture because you are a chosen generation. Y'all know Jesus is coming back soon. And he chose you to be in this time, for this time period. He chose you all. There's been great people before you, but he chose you all to be a part of that, to be caught up with him in a twinkling of an eye. That's special. He could have came at any time. Excuse me. At any time, but he chose you all. Live your life with boldness. Stop playing it safe. Do the right thing, but live your life with boldness. Don't be afraid to start something. Don't be afraid to do something new. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. Don't be afraid to invite someone. Don't be afraid to pick up, hey, kids. Make sure it's not in a white van. Every day. Don't be afraid to do what is right. My wife, I worked the late shift at the Daily when I was working there from 12 to 5 in the morning, 6 to 3 Saturday night. Then we have to come back from 12 to 5 in the morning, Sunday morning. And I'd be tired. Wouldn't get up and go to church. Faithfully. She would get up, take all the kids, all four of them, bring them to church. Faithfully. Even when I didn't want her to. Faithfully. She would say certain things that would just go one ear and out the other. It wasn't what she said, it's what she did. Her actions spoke louder than her words. Your actions, your faith in God will sometimes speak louder than your words. How can you trust God in this storm? All hell is breaking loose in your life. And you're not even moved. What's the problem? God. Our trust is in God. Be bold about it. It may feel like you want to fall apart like a $2 suitcase. That's okay. But as long as you just get back to the place to where God is number one, Lord. I understand this. This is going on in my life. This is hurting me and what have you. I'm just having a hard time. But nevertheless, your word says this. And I'm going to stand on it. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to move. I'm going to stand on it until I receive what I've been believing for. Don't you dare back down from God's word and let me find out about it. Because I'll encourage you. What are you believing the Lord for? Because you have to understand, it's already a done deal. That's the beauty of it. It's already a done deal. What are you believing God for? Why? We need this. We need that. We need finances. We need to be debt free. We need to be this. It's already a done deal. Speak it out. Get those bills. Put them out on your table. And speak over those bills. I got bills I need to speak over. Speak over them. That doesn't work. Have you tried it? You're a lot tougher than you think you are. You're a lot stronger than you think you are. But you're strong in the Lord, not in your own strength. So expect results to come when you pray. Expect to receive it. Don't just give some type of a head prayer. Do it from the depths of your belly and believe it in what you're saying. Believe it's going to come to pass. Say it, believe it, receive it. You have a toothache? You had them pulled? Yeah. Then what should you do in this circumstance? Do you need prayer for it? Everybody waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. Somebody go pray with her. Somebody go pray with her. Believe it. Don't wait on me. Come on. Be bold about it. Amen. Now, some people may be thinking, well, it's a wisdom tooth. Everybody hurts afterwards. That's natural. To the world. That's unnatural for the believer. No pain, no hurting. There's people I know. I mean, didn't your mom have, who was it, Seth? How quick was that? She wasn't even in pain, was it? It was just popping out, man. It's like, what? Contractions? What? Just popping out. Yeah, I don't like that expression. You don't have to go through that pain. If you're feeling any pain in your body right now, tell it to go away. It has no right to be there. You've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Backache, neck ache. You're sciatic. Knee problems. Where's Brandon? Just funny. But God loves you so much. He cares about everything that you're going through. Be bold about it. Lord, this is what we're needing. And you stand on the word and you don't back down. Favor. There's favor in the Bible. There's scriptures for favor. Speak it out. And then do accordingly what he has you to do. Hallelujah. We thank you for healing. Father God, we thank you for everyone here, Lord. You're an awesome God, Lord, and we just love you. We love you. And if there's anyone here at the sound of my voice who's never given their life to Jesus and they want to do that today, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. And we thank you. 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 If there's anyone here that wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they want to do that. You can just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life right now to fill you right now in the name of Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit and God will not leave us as orphans. He wants us to be equipped to go out and do his work. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for everyone here at the sound of my voice. We thank you that they are healed, delivered, restored, set free from any type of demonic activity in their life. Satan, you take your hands off of them. They don't belong to you. They belong to Jesus. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.